is charged with governing activities at the five Pacifica stations, WBAI being one of them. Thank you, Bessie Wash, for being with us today.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, a number of people, we just ended a meeting, mm-hmm. a staff meeting, at which much attention was focused on you. And
oh, really?
Yes, and the...
Positive, I hope.
Well, not necessarily.
No.
It ain't necessarily so.
Oh.
Yes. And the question of the immediate circumstances of the firing mm-hmm. of Valerie Van Isler, of Bernard White, and mm-hmm. Sharan Harper. Suppose we start there.
Okay.
And the question is, what led to the firings and why were they fired?
Well, I think that it's only fair to them and to the foundation not to talk about personnel issues. So it was a personnel decision. There was cause, and they were terminated for cause. Outside of that, it just, I don't think it does anybody any credible good to talk about anything, you know, within that. But with that being said, those were not easy decisions for me. I labored on them, and I just had to do what I had to do. And sometimes that's just the way it is. Because, you know, bottom line is, I have to think about what is, in the long term, good for the station. And in my purview, as I look forward, my overall feeling is that those decisions had to be made, and so therefore I made them.
Why unilaterally? Why not with the advice and consent of staff, with the input of the community?
I don't think, I mean, you know, I know and I've heard, because I've been here, how people want, you know, you don't make, at least, you know, and I mean, these are not the kinds of decisions you can make in terms of a democracy. You don't go and ask for permission to fire somebody, okay? What you have to do is to look at what it is, what their contribution is, or not, and then you have to make a decision. At least I did. And my overall feeling is, on the one hand, when I look at what was long-term for the station, I didn't see the leadership that the station needed to get there. And then when I looked at in the short term for the station, I didn't think it was fair to have a situation where it couldn't be successful because it was being undermined. And so, and like I said, you know, these are not things that one just flaps and does. I mean, you know, so it was not easy, but it was a decision I felt had to be made, and it was a decision that I made.
The question about the changing of the locks in the middle of the night.
Four women and a baby.
Well, that's true.
I mean, it was four women and a baby, but with that being said, what I wanted to do is we need to secure the space. And I wanted it to be a time it was the least destructive to the staff and to the station and the operations as possible. And so, and I felt, you know, when is the time when there's the least people there? You know, it was nothing, there was no conspiracy. It was, like I said, it was four women and a baby. I mean, you know, hello.
What is the thing that bothers you most? What have you heard in terms of reaction that, in your view, is the thing that is most inaccurate about the way this thing is being seen? Because you put the pieces together. We just came out of a meeting in which it was said, these things must have some kind of common cause, some kind of common thread. these things don't just happen in a vacuum. The story we have been told, and of course I know I'm going to ask you to come back several times to talk with listeners, if you don't mind.
I'm fine.
Great. And to systematically lay out, to the extent that you can, because you just said some of these are personnel issues, but I don't want to give you an easy way out. So you won't have an easy way out. I want you to be able to come back and talk not just to the listeners. I've seen you available here at staff, and I wanted to know about that. One of the things that was told to us here was that you simply had made a commitment to come to the staff and then arbitrarily canceled it, and then simply were not available to the staff.
Patrice, I have been here for, what, three or four weeks. The staff was given a phone number at which they could call me. I met with the staff, okay? So, no, I didn't arbitrarily, just not. I have been here. I have children at home, okay? I have been here. Anyone who's wanted to talk to me could talk to me. They had the phone number to reach me at.
No one called you?
No one called. No one called. Okay? I was here. I've been up in the station. I've been in town. I have been here. I get a phone call in Washington one night, Thursday. Said, people want to talk to me on Friday. I canceled everything. I was here on Friday. No one was here. Okay? I've been here. My daughter was afraid I wouldn't be home for Christmas. She cried and made me promise that I was coming Christmas Eve. I've been here. No one called me.
I'm really having some difficulty understanding this. You've been here for 3 weeks, you said.
At least. It may even be four. I mean, I've been here. Been here since the last week of November. I've been here. And no one called.
Why didn't you just come down to the station?
I've been at the station.
I mean, just realizing that the calls weren't coming through.
I have been. Eutrice, I've been at the station. I have come up in the station. Okay? I've come. I've sat in the lobby. I have been here. No one called. Anything anybody's had to say to me or ask me, I have not backed off from. I have answered the question. It was a personnel decision. And, you know, we may agree, we may disagree, you know, and we may have to agree to disagree. But it was a personnel decision that I made that I felt, and I still feel, is the betterment of the future of WBAI. And, you know, bottom line is, when it comes right down to it, at least right now, that's my responsibility. And I looked out, I saw the leadership that was here, and my overall feeling was that that leadership was not going to take the station where it needed to go. And that was not, again, easy. It was not easy for anybody to sit and think that that was something I did on a whim. It's not fair.
But what about the process? This is a legitimate question, some people say. The question about whether, in the actions taken, due process was observed.
Mm. Well, you know, I can only say that I had several conversations. There were things putting in writing. There were things that needed to be done that weren't done.
Were the individuals aware that they were in danger in any way of losing their jobs?
I want to be offensive about this. I believe in my heart that Valerie, she had to know, she had it was in writing. Now, if you want to ask me about Bernard and Sharon, I mean, I can only say that if you do certain things, one has to wonder, you know, whether or not it is you enjoy what you're doing. Okay. I mean, that's the best I can say, is it? But with Valerie, I can tell you there is a paper trail with Bernard and Sharon. It had to do with their appropriate actions. And I think that it's like, you know, I'm not trying to be funny. There are policies and procedures for a reason. And the reason is to prevent anarchy. Okay. Without those, you have anarchy. So, you know, who is excused from that? I have 96 full-time equivalent employees, 150 in terms of payroll itself. You know, so who is it that's supposed to be outside of those policies? Okay? And when you do, when do you say that this person doesn't have to? All right? That's all I'm trying to say here. And everybody has a right. And I think, no, I know that having access to the air is a privilege. And it's not one that somebody should throw away, thrash, or take advantage of. And they certainly shouldn't use it to their own, for their own agenda. And, you know, this is all unfortunate. I mean, you know, the time of year it is. I mean, you know, this whole thing is just, I have been here and I've looked at the staff and, you know, people are hurting. I mean, so, you know, it's not like I take these things lightly and I don't take this lightly, but it had to be done.
Are these decisions irrevocable?
Which ones?
Any of them.
Valerie is no longer the general manager of WBAI. That will not be reversed. You, as interim general manager, can make any other staffing decision that you decide to make. But Valerie is no longer the general manager of WBAI.
With regard to the other two,
mm-hmm.
Are those decisions irrevocable?
It is up. Staffing decisions and day-to-day operations of the station is up to the general manager, not me. I made some decisions I thought was for the good of the station at the time. So now, I mean, it's up to you as general manager.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I really
you appreciate that. I know.
I appreciate the Christmas gift.
There you go.
Yes. Let's talk about the concern that people have. I have had a problem with the phrase, you know, WBAI and Pacifica. I keep insisting that WBAI is Pacifica.
Hello. WBAI is not in itself a going concern. WBAI does not have its own federal ID. All right, the Pacifica Foundation owns 5 licenses, one of which is WBAI. So WBAI is Pacifica. WBAI, you know, when you think about it, you talk about what Pacifica is and what we stand for and what it is that we do. It is because of BAI, KPFA, WPFW, KPFT, and KPFK. There are 5 different stations and 5 different markets that serve 5 different communities. And they serve it in a very special way. All right? So, because of Pacifica, we have these stations. You know, so when you walk in the door and you say it's WBAI, no, you're saying it's the Pacifica Foundation's WBAI. And because of the Pacifica Foundation, we can have a WBAI, we can have a Democracy Now, we can have a PNN, you know, and we can have people like Eutrice Lee on the air that has a special message that is not constricted. You know what I'm trying to say? You know, Warner Brothers don't own us. Kellogg's doesn't own us. It's the listeners. 80% of what we do come from the people that listen to us every day. And I'm very aware of that. And I'm very much aware of that same relationship that causes the sort of upset that we've got going on right now. But all I can say is this, that if we want to keep this special station, somebody has to be looking and saying, you know, do we have what it's going to take to make sure that we're here 5 years from now? And right now, the person that's making that decision is me. And it was not an easy decision. But my overall feeling was, looking at what we have to do, looking at what's at hand, that leadership wasn't here. That's not to say that I did not or do not appreciate the talents of the staff, because I did. I tried very hard to place Valerie at another place within the foundation itself. Because of her commitment, because of her talents, her journalistic, nobody's going to question that, okay? With that being said, was she the one to lead the station from here to there? I did not see that. I don't see it. And that is my job. And I will stand by that decision. It did not come from the board. It came from me.
Well, you anticipated my next question, which had to do with the concerns of the National Board. Many people have been saying that the National Board, as an entity, has been exhibiting traits that concern them. Mm. That the National Board wishes to push Pacifica and the Foundation and all of its satellite stations into an ideological space that is contrary to the vision of Lou Hill. But as an you are new to this job, incidentally, I should mention that.
Yes.
You're new.
But not to the foundation.
But not to the foundation, because you were the general manager at WPFW in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
for, I think, 5 years or
mm-hmm.
so. So you know well the entity, and you are a colleague of Valerie Van Isler's, so
mm-hmm.
This is especially interesting because of that relationship that you have. But is it your sense that there is a shift indeed in terms of the guidance emanating from the national level that is now having a ripple effect throughout the system?
I can only tell you that the board of directors of Pacifica is a governance board. It's not an operating board. Day-to-day operations of the foundation is left to the executive director.
That's you.
That's right. With that being said, absolutely not. I don't see that. I don't see it in the strategic plan. And if you look at the operating plan that I put out for the next 5 years, you won't see it there either. The programming for each of the stations is up to the general managers and the general manager's management team. I certainly, first off, I mean, if we were like realistic here, if all I had to do was to try to, you know, concentrate on programming of five stations, I wouldn't have time to do my job. I mean, it's not realistic. The programming of the stations are up to the general managers and their management team. So primarily it's going to be the general managers and the program director. It's certainly not me. And when you consider the fact that we have five stations and five markets that are unique and distinct, okay, the programming, say, at WBAI would not necessarily work in Washington. The programming in Washington wouldn't work in Texas. The program in Texas wouldn't work in L.A., you know, so on and so forth, because you have a different community that's looking for something different. And that's what makes Pacifica special and different. And everybody has to realize that, you know, they keep saying, I mean, I keep hearing things like, we're going to be like NPR-ish. NPR does not own one radio station. Not one. Pacifica is the only kind. And we are it. We are the only public entity that owns five radio stations and five major markets. And we allow those stations to program themselves to their own communities. They're not flooded with a bunch of Pacifica, quote-unquote, programming. They're not.
I want to turn to a theme that I struck earlier about the need to turn inward at this time. And I have to ask you this frankly. Is it your sense that WBAI, as an entity...
WBAI is not an entity.
Well, I'm talking
about... I'm just trying to get it clear. But WBAI is a station. Go ahead.
All right. Well, you're talking radio lingo.
I know.
I'm talking in your basic collective noun here.
Okay.
WBAI, as an entity, has missed... No, let me rephrase the question. How do you assess this notion of self-governance within WBAI? How does it look to you as an executive director? How do we appear in your eyes? Do we appear as a station who knows what we're doing? Do we appear as... I'm taking into consideration how this so-called crisis developed. What is it from your eyes that has happened here? What has brought us to this point, from your point of view?
You said the crisis. You know, I come in and I hear there's a crisis. I have made a change in management, a change in leadership. In terms of self-governance, it's up to the general manager to manage the station. Good, bad, or indifferent, whether we're a public radio station, whether we're a commercial radio station, whether anything, there has to be management. Somebody's got to be running it. The crisis, I mean, you know, I think that it is tragic. And you know, I'm saying this, and I'm sitting here, and I know that I'm the person that came in and had to do these terminations, that something like this happens, you know, this time of year. But with that being said, this wasn't flippant. I mean, and good, bad, or indifferent, a lot of people at WBAI have been calling for this change in management. And my mother said something to me when I was young, and I never forget it. She said, be careful what you pray for. I mean, you know, good, bad, and if I took a look, and I said, okay, this is the 5-year operational view I have for the foundation. And I am looking at every manager that I have right now out there to see if they are the individuals that will take it. I mean, I'm talking about things like paying people a living wage, giving people decent benefits, being able to have radio that people can listen to that won't irritate their ears, okay? Trying to make sure that people have a decent work environment. And when they walk into the building, hello, they're glad to be there. And I had to look at all of these things, and I had to say to myself, okay, do I have the management in place at the stations and all the other two units that I have, which is production, program production, and development? Was it in place? And when I looked at this one, it wasn't in place. No, I mean, just because we're Pacifica, it doesn't mean that when you come to work, you can't enjoy being there. I have a problem with that. So, you know, when I looked at this, I said, you know, it's not there. And it wasn't easy. I worked with Valerie for 5 years, peer to peer. So you don't walk into a room, sit down with somebody that you work with peer to peer and say, you know, this is not going to work.
I want to talk about the fact that you, by the way, it's 4:29 p.m., almost the half hour. I almost forgot you. What's your name again?
Yes, my name is Hugh Hamilton, and this is a fascinating discussion, particularly for me, because coming into this process at this juncture and listening to what's happening has given me a perspective which I didn't have before. So please, be my guest.
I am your guest.
I'm Eutrice Lead, and you're listening to Talk Back on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York. It appears I have to eat some of my words. This was supposed to be my farewell program, but I have managed to persuade Bessie Wash, who is the executive director of the Pacifica Foundation, and who has responsibility for the running of all five of Pacifica stations, to be available for some time yet, and to make herself available to the listeners, which she has agreed to do and is eager to do, and as also to be available to staff. I really am stunned to know that you have been in New York for some 3 to 4 weeks. We on staff have heard otherwise. We did not know that you were available. We were not told that you were ready to meet. We, in fact, had no idea that you were accessible at all. And that's unfortunate, because I think we missed a very important opportunity to begin a dialogue. I am the new interim, and I understand that I am an at-will employee. I could be fired by 5 o'clock. But I must say...
So can I.
You could be fired by 5 o'clock, too. But I must say that I had made it plain to you when we talked about my assuming this role,
mm-hmm.
that I had a list of, quote, demands, unquote. I would say concerns, mm-hmm. to be polite. They were demands, let's face it. They were demands. And the demands were primarily about those things that you have expressed. We have gone here for 4 years without a negotiated contract.
Mm-hmm.
My first demand was a negotiated contract. You have agreed to that.
Mm-hmm.
We have...
I insist on that.
You insist on it. We talked about the resolution of outstanding labor grievances, and there are many
mm-hmm.
at the station that, unfortunately, another Christmas gift that I have inherited, that was demand number two, that we will work to resolve all outstanding labor grievances. You've
That's
agreed
right.
to that.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the need to adequately staff the station. We have not adequately staffed the station. You've agreed to that.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about the need to really pay people what they're supposed to be paid, so they don't have to take second, third, and fourth jobs simply to put a roof over their heads. And
we've agreed to try to negotiate a living wage. With that being said, the only reason I want to make sure, because one of the things that I think the problem is here is there's a problem of trust. And so I want to make very clear that I don't make promises that I can't keep. We need to pay our staff a living wage. Now, so we need to look at what a living wage is, and we need to look at what the budget can carry. And it may be we have to roll into a living wage, but it is certainly far above what people are being paid right now. This is ridiculous.
Well, you've agreed to that.
Yes.
And we need also to realistically adjust a budget, to come up with a realistic budget that reflects equipment needs, training
right.
needs,
mm-hmm.
and reinvestment and upgrading of the physical plant.
Absolutely.
And you've agreed to that.
That's right.
And those were my demands.
There you go.
So far...
But your demands, please note, are all in. That's what I'm trying to say when I talk about the leadership at the station. Those are all things that are in the 5-year operating plan.
Well,
they are there. I'm just saying that when you talk about demands and what's needed at WBAI, okay, it's there. All I need to do is have leadership in place that absolutely want to do those kinds of things. Make sure the people have a living wage. Make sure there's good equipment. Make sure, like I said, that the environment is conducive to somebody wanting to come in here and work. I mean, the lights. Simple things. Like the lights come on when you walk in. I mean, so no, those things are there. And so, yeah, you absolutely did demand them, and I absolutely did agree with them, but they're absolutely also things that I think is quality of work that I would have wanted, and I do want.
Well, it seems to me we have some work to do,
yes,
Bessie Wash.
We do.
And take some no-dos, because we are going to start this process early. I want to say something, and I don't mean to sound solicitous at all, okay, but we have to turn the corner on this. I sense an atmosphere of cannibalism, mm-hmm, within our system. Some of it quite justified, I might add, because the actions of previous executive directors were just utterly unacceptable in particular situations. And I refer to the California situation. That was not you.
That's right.
But I think you would appreciate the fact that that was ugly, it was avoidable, and in my view, it was just unprincipled and illegal. And that should not have happened. That situation does not obtain here, and the circumstances that are quite different. But under your watch and under my watch, I would like us on the air today to agree that we have an identifiable common aim and objective. You will work your butt off to do what you've got to do. I certainly will work my butt off to do what it is I have to do. And this is what is necessary, and it is in fact a very encouraging sign. It's a long overdue and encouraging sign from the leadership level that at which you exist, and from this leadership level at which I now exist. We as workers here, and I'm talking to you now as a former shop steward, we have had just incessant wars over basic things. And we have had this nature of eating ourselves because it built up such frustration. Our anger was directed at an intransigent management here, which in turn blamed something else or someone else for the fact that movement couldn't be made in critical areas. You were saying to me that, and you've said to me, which was the reason that I accepted this position, that you've made these commitments, and I have made myself also committed to these things because they are the top priorities in my view, apart from the fact that we have to work internally to reconstitute the tenor of the atmosphere here in which we live and work. Much of it contributed by the tensions and forces of having to work under adverse conditions and in an adversarial relationship with the management here. I'm hoping that I'm sending a signal to all concerned that with my stepping up to the plate, my tour of duty at the helm, that has changed.
Mm-hmm.
That we will get to a new way of operating, hoping, of course, that there will be the maturity and professionalism and trust among ourselves to do what we have to do. But the pressure is also on you. The pressure is on you, and I know as a Brooklyn girl, you're going to deliver.
As a little colored girl.
As a little colored girl from Brooklyn, you're going to deliver. And I want to say that I want to thank you for just even giving the signal of accessibility. Mm. That's the first thing. We never had that signal before of accessibility of an executive director. Your willingness to listen, again, we may or may not agree,
but
you are. But
we may agree to disagree.
Sure, but
we'll do that.
We want to listen to what it is our concerns are because, in effect, mm-hmm, we have a job to do. So that is encouraging. the fact that you posed absolutely no resistance at all to the things that I've asked for as the top items on my list for me even considering doing this, there was no resistance at all to it, that was extremely encouraging. And the fact that you are here, that you are making yourself available, that is encouraging. And I'm hoping that we can continue in this mode, and in the ensuing days that you will be available again to the listeners, and I'm sure other programs may want to invite you on. I don't know what your schedule is like, but I'm hoping that as much as possible that you'll be available. But I will also say, in fairness, I have not liked the tone of meetings that I myself have attended, and so I've kept my attendance at meetings slightly down because I like rational environments, I like reasoned environments, and for whatever reason, they've been hard to come by lately.
So yeah, I think that's, I do. I think that's unfortunate because I felt, and I have felt, coming here today, being here over the weekend, just being, that people are feeling real pain. I hope, genuinely hope, that people will see that I am not here to interfere with the day-to-day operation. I am not here to interfere with programming.
Well, I ain't going to allow it. I'm speaking to you as the interim general manager. It will not be allowed on my watch.
But I do. I just want to know that I do know that there's a sense of a real pain in the staff, and I recognize that. Change is hard. I think it's hard any place, doing anything. And you know, far be it that the change not be hard here at WBAI, but all I can say is that I can't apologize for what has happened in the past and concerns with the relationship between the leadership and the foundation itself and the station. I can only say that, again, that this leadership is not here to interfere with the day-to-day operation of the station, but to ensure that the leadership that is in place will be able to take the station where it needs to be to go, and to ensure, like I said, that there's an adequate place. When people come into a place of work, you know, they need to be able to enjoy being there. If you don't enjoy being, especially for the salaries that we pay here at Pacifica,
hello.
You know what I'm trying to say? You have to at least minimum enjoy coming into the office. And that's my only goal, is to ensure that the staff has leadership that will make sure that when they come into work, they can enjoy being here, they have what they need to do their jobs, and, we're listenable, you know, meaning that there's not a lot of stats, that we've got what we need, like I said, to do great radio.
Well, are you open to some questions? We have a little bit of time. I know you'll be here just to do questions on another day, but how is your schedule?
As long as you need me, I'm here.
All right. 212-209-2900 is the number to call. I'm Eutrice Lead. You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM. The program is Talkback. And my guest who says, my host, I'm now...
You're my guest.
How do you like this? How do you like
She's
this?
Your guest.
First, I am here to introduce you as the person who will fill in for me as the host... And here I am, being ill-mannered.
Well, I came here this afternoon entirely prepared to let you have your way with me.
Ooh, really? I hope you're not joking just programmatically. No.
And
you heard it here, Michael G. He said, I can have my way with him.
And I'm enjoying this thoroughly. So yes, indeed.
So what are you enjoying about this?
Well, for one thing, it's really a great thing to listen to two very smart women talk to each other about issues that are not necessarily limited to gender-specific considerations. I really like that. As a black person, I find that there are many times, many situations in which when you see two black people talking or two women talking or two Caribbean people talking, there's an expectation that what they're discussing is not something that's transcendental, but something that is limited to that unique mm-hmm. aspect of their identity. And here you are talking about very broad philosophical issues pertaining to broadcasting and radio and media and the role of radio in society, and also making very important decisions that will affect the lives of people like me, little people like me.
Oh, sure.
You know, so this is great. And also, the level of discussion is very encouraging. I have not been a part of this process, and so much of this is new to me. And quite frankly, I'm encouraged by the tone and the direction in which I hear the conversation tending. So I'd like to give listeners an opportunity to participate in that as well. So there you go, Yatrice.
Thank you. 212-209-2900. Hello, you're on the air with Bessie Wash.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, Yatrice.
Hello.
And your guest.
Thanks.
Yatrice, first of all, I must congratulate you on your movement within the station. Now, there were some insinuations made, negative insinuation about a coup and all of that stuff. Now, I just want to say this. You've had a track record of being an honorable, decent woman in a community for a very, very long time. And I respect your judgment, and you have my total trust and commitment behind you. Because one of the things I believe is that we really don't trust in our leadership. Because you are one person within our community that I have no doubt in, okay? As far as decency, truth and justice. Now, there has been a thing about Amy. Now, there's only one thing I'd like to ask you. Not to have Amy censored, and let her have her free will to do what she wants to do, because Democracy Now! Has been an excellent program. That's all I'm asking of you. And now you have my total support. And brother, you?
Yes, sir.
you remember last time you tried to sit in for you, trees?
I remember the last time, yes.
I don't know why you'd want to do that, because no one could feel her shoe, brother.
Well, I recognize that. I mentioned that the last time, and I mentioned it again. And as a matter of fact, I don't propose to do that at all.
But you have my support. You have a tough road ahead of you.
Well, look, I thank you very much, and I hope that you keep listening.
And Ms. Walsh?
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye now.
Hello, you're on the air. This is Talk Back on WBAI.
Oh, hi, you trees. I'm happy to turn my radio down.
Thank you.
My name is Malcolm from Long Island.
Thank you, Malcolm.
Quick question. What happened? I tuned in about 15 minutes late, and it sounds like you're leaving the show. Hugh's coming on. Are these good things, bad things? Should we be concerned?
Well, I think that it's a good thing.
I'm looking home from the mall, and I'm like, man, well, look what happened in 15 minutes.
Well, the most impressive thing about what you said is that you're able to put the picture together faster than anybody I know. Yeah, I'm leaving in that I'm given new responsibilities here at the station of interim general manager, which means I can't do that and the program at the same time. So for the meantime, until we go through the process to choose a permanent host, my buddy and pal and family member, Hugh Hamilton, is standing in.
Okay. One or two quick questions. First, I just want to say, this is the first time I've called. I'm glad I had an opportunity to speak to you before you leave.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're really an inspiration. I don't know if you'll ever really understand the impact that you've had on the community. I'm a young black male. You're inspirational for all of us who are concerned about our betterment. You're definitely someone to look to in a leadership capacity, and I just want to thank you for as many conversations I've listened to you and walked away and really just given me some insight and something to think about. I appreciate it.
I want to thank you for that. That's a very gracious thing to say. Thank
also,
you.
Oh, thank you. Also, Hugh, if you, Trees, feel confident to have you step in there, then I am very confident that you're going to do an excellent job. So, yes, I will continue to listen. And as I always do, I'll tell my friends to listen.
Well, thank you very much.
No problem. For the young lady who's there from Pacifica.
Yes, this is Bessie Wash, the executive director of Pacifica.
Hi, how are you? I'm sorry I forgot your name.
That's all right.
Quick question.
Mm-hmm.
As Yatrice was speaking to you and you went through the list of demands that she said that she had before she would assume the position,
mm-hmm.
you seemed to be in agreement with from what I heard, all of them, which just brings me to the question. For the past couple of weeks, as a listener, I felt somewhat in the dark as to what's been going on, quote-unquote, behind the scenes. But if you're in such agreement with all those sorts of demands, I don't understand how all these problems seem to arise to the point where people are asked to leave or whatever the case may be. So if you could just speak to that, you know, if everyone's in agreement, why do we seem to have a problem?
Thank you.
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that question. All I can tell you is that I am in agreement. And it's like I said, I mean, these are things that are needed here. So it wasn't a hard sell, in other words. I mean, you know, she said those, I agreed, and I still agree. Why there's a problem, I don't know.
Hello, you're on the air. This is Dogback.
Yes, I think that in the spirit of Christmas, we have to take a look at the absolute agreement by members of the station producers, who last Tuesday night had a vote of 38-2 to support Bernard White and Valerie Van Essler. One of the abstaining two votes was you, Eutrice Leed, and only 72 hours later, you changed the locks with your guest, Bessie Wash. That doesn't sound like democracy now to me. The fact that Amy Goodman this morning had to deal with Jim Freund, who kept yelling at her and interrupting her, doesn't sound like her show is at peace at all. It sounds like since her co-host was fired and he now has a court order, which will have him arrested if he sets foot in the BAI. We're talking about Bernard White and the producer of Amy Goodman's show. We're talking about Sharon will also be arrested by court order. That pressure is being put on Amy Goodman to leave the station more than ever. That the confrontation against Amy Goodman for you, for example, taking 1 hour of her showtime this morning, puts more additional pressure on one of the shining lights of the station. And in the spirit of Christmas, to do this midnight coup makes the two of you nothing more than the Grinches who stole Christmas. I'm asking for your resignations. And I hope that both of you will restore Bernard White immediately. It's only to save your positions, because the mounting pressure against you will soon cause you to resign and will cause Bernard White and Valerie Van Essler to come back and Amy Goodman to at least be kept on her morning show slot without your interference.
All right, let's respond. Thank you. We have the sense of where you're going.
With that being said, the coup,
I kind of lost count on the number of inaccuracies.
That's why I wanted to make sure people that there were four women and a baby came up here. That's right. At 11 o'clock, and we changed the locks. And the reason that we did is because it was the least obstruction to the staff and the operations of the station. And that's it.
That's the invading force in SWAT.
Hello. And that's all it was. Now, with that being said, if you are listening and you are a regular listener to Democracy Now!, you will notice that the program has not changed. She has not been censored. She's on it every day. She was on it this morning, okay? She says what she wants to say. No one, absolutely no one from the national office has tried in any way whatsoever to censor Amy Goodman, all right? Democracy Now! Is a signature program of the Pacifica Foundation.
While you're at it, may I ask something here? Because it has been said, in fact, by Amy Goodman, that the program is being attacked. And that, in effect, she is being attacked. I have to ask, is this an attack, or has Amy Goodman been disciplined? What is the situation?
The only thing that I can say that I know, okay, for a fact, is that a disciplinary action, Amy received a disciplinary action letter about some of the things that she has done. And that's it. That would go to anybody that would put the prestige or the reputation of this foundation on the line simply for their own agenda. We have a full-time equivalent staff of 96 people. and I believe a payroll of 150. And there are policies and procedures, and no one, not one of them, could put this foundation on the line for their own personal agenda. We all have to be looking at the good of the foundation, make sure that this foundation is here, which has been here for over 50 years, thank you very much. And I want to be here that much longer, at least that much longer. So no, Democracy Now! Is not being censored, it's not being attacked, Amy's not being fired, and the program is not being changed.
But there was a disciplinary action.
There was a disciplinary action letter made. That absolutely is correct.
But it has been presented as other than... In fact, it has not been explained as a disciplinary action.
It's a disciplinary action, yes.
All right. I just...
And it is no different than any other disciplinary action letter we give anybody. Okay.
No censorship.
No censorship.
All right.
I mean, if you listen to the program, have you heard censorship? The program sounds the same to me. I mean, I don't get into, like I said, the day-to-day programming. So I don't get a national program either. It's not going to get into the programming on the station level. But I haven't heard any difference. As a matter of fact, to me, she sounds more aggressive. So if somebody hears that, then, you know, then say something. But I don't hear it. She's still here. I hope she'll be here for a while.
Well, that kind of brings us to the end of our program today. I'm Eutrice Leed. This is your cue. And I'm Hugh Hamilton.
And I'm Hugh Hamilton. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, got to this over.
Never have I had a program in which the host has said very little.
Well,
the real host of this program is you.
Well, it's been fun. It's been fun.
Yeah.
It is now 56 minutes past the hour, and you've been listening to a conversation between Eutrice Leed, the new interim general manager here at WBAI, and Ms. Bessie Wash, who is the executive director of the Pacifica Radio.
Is.
I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. We are a foundation.
Yes, indeed. The Pacifica Foundation. This is terminology with which, of course, I'll have to become accustomed for as long as you ladies would have me.
And I don't like these expressions of yours. Well, as long as you ladies would have me,
well,
and have my way with him.
Well,
I don't know, Hugh. Something has happened to you, and we must talk.
Well, indeed, we should.
But I want to thank you very much, Bessie Wash, not only for coming by today, but also for making yourself available in coming days and hopefully coming weeks to relate your vision and to deal with the concerns and questions directly from our listeners and the folks here at WBAI. I must say again that it is an extremely encouraging sign from your level of leadership to us here, and I deeply respect it. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.